Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, for Pete's sake, I left a whole bunch of stuff still sitting on the printer, but the bottom line is this. John Jackson, hey, good to see you, my friend. John Jackson, the Joker from X, joining us here on Tuesday's show, taking your phone calls and more. John, you just asked me a really good question. Hey, what happened with the governor's vetoes? Did he veto those big spending bills yet? And one of the things that I've got sitting on the printer right now, citing spending concerns, Governor Gianforte vetoes two GOP-backed health care bills. And that's a Lee newspaper's report that came out over the weekend. But John, you asked a really good question. Whatever happened with the big spending bills, not some of these other, you know, sidebar bills, but the big spending bills. Last time I spoke with Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, he says, well, technically the bills didn't get to the governor's desk yet because he said Speaker of the House Brandon Lear and I had to run through the bills, make sure everything, you know, go through what the House had versus what the Senate had. So there was basically a whole bunch of procedural stuff. So the bills hadn't even technically gotten to the governor's desk yet. What I hope out of that is that that means the governor's office in the meantime has had more time to look through that thing to figure out everything he wants to veto in those big spending bills. But your thoughts?
Yeah, that one big one I think I heard you talking about it, is almost a 20% increase in government spending.
They're saying an 18% increase.
Yeah, outrageous.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, 18% increase. And I couldn't see why the governor would want to have that on, that massive of a blemish on his record, because his first term and his first two legislative sessions, I thought, were very productive. He and the Republican supermajority in the legislature, and then the wheels seem to come off this legislative session.
Yeah, it's like I said before, I am a fiscal conservative absolutist, okay? If you are voting for more government and more spending and more taxes, you are wrong.
Well, more spending in certain areas, like building our prison capacity, we need to do some things like that. But in terms of
the overall
yeah, spending, yeah. And, you know, typically they try to limit it based off, you want to try to limit it based off of population increases and inflation, and at least keep that as your ceiling, right? And so, yeah, 18% obviously goes far above and beyond that.
You remember those old, back in the day, those old paper cutters you would see always in your school, you know, those big green ones with the big chopper thingies, and you push in it. See, if I'm the governor, whoever I am, that's my mission over my term, is I'm feeding the government piece by piece into that chopper. Every time I can do it, chop, chop here, chop there, chop here, chop, and just whack it down like you're taking chops at a tree.
Could you imagine, would they even allow something like that? That thing looked like a guillotine. When you were a kid, you were like, ah!
How many kids like took the tip of their fingers off?
Oh, man, right? Yeah, it's like, would they even allow those old school paper cutters in school buildings anymore? There's probably somebody out in Weibo listening right now. We still got one in our school, you know.
Oh, I bet they do. Oh,
but
yeah,
the big
yeah.
schools, oh, no way. Those have been pawned off long time ago. All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Lots to talk about.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, speaking of the legislature, I think we've talked enough probably about the Montana legislature. Moving on. What about the Wyoming legislature? I think I mentioned this to you before. By the way, you were just in Kalispell recently, I think. So did you see the big billboard? I don't know if it's still up. I need to drive past and see if it's still up. But there was a big billboard, and it had a snowmobile and it had a coyote on it. And it was talking about hunting coyotes with snowmobiles. Did I tell you about this before?
Mm-mm.
Anyway, it's a beautiful billboard. But I think they're trying to urge people not to hunt coyotes with snowmobiles. But when you see the billboard, I don't know. I think the reaction of most Montanans is like, oh, that's a great idea. That sounds like a lot of fun. Let's go hunt coyotes with snowmobiles. So you see this big billboard in the Flathead, and it's like, do these environmental groups not realize that Kalispell is not Missoula? And so they've got this big billboard up to try to ban, you know, hunting coyotes with snowmobiles. And it looks like a promotional campaign instead. It looks like something you'd want to do. But anyway,
all these guys out there are like, wait, I didn't think about that. Oh, heck yeah, I'm using my snowmobile now.
It's like now all of a sudden these people in the flat are like, hey, don't you have a buddy out in eastern Montana that'll let us go coyote hunting out there? It's kind of like prairie dog hunting. That is some of the most fun. You know, everybody wants to go get their big trophy. Look at what I killed. Look at me. Man, I'll take a cow elk any day. Prairie dog hunting is some of the most fun you'll have. Bird hunting. I love bird hunting because it's fast. You're walking around. You're moving. You know, you don't have to break your back hauling them out of there. But, yeah, I just had to laugh because when I saw that sign, I was like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. They're promoting coyote hunting with snowmobiles.
You remember at a SHOT Show, we were there. We were standing there talking with the governor and with Donald Trump Jr., and they were talking about Donald Trump Jr. out here in Montana hitting a prairie dog at 400 yards. And you know how small a prairie dog is, like a squirrel, right? Hit that thing at 400 yards.
Ooh, depending on some places, you go up by Malta, they're like freaking beavers. They can be so big sometimes. But
you know, a normal one is like, you know, because they're like a big squirrel.
Yeah,
that's a crazy good shooting.
Didn't the governor talk about the pink mist or something? Well, that was the one where Donald Trump Jr. was talking about how the fake news media, he and Governor Gianforte, they were talking about prairie dog hunting in Montana. And the liberal media ran with this whole story about how Donald Trump Jr. was shooting pregnant dogs in Montana. It's like, no, they're prairie dogs, you morons.
Yeah, and they have the plague, and they're a nuisance, and you got to get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, cattle can, you know, you can break a, you know, if you get their legs caught in the holes. I mean, it's just a real bad deal. Well, anyway, Wyoming, this was from the Daily Caller. This got some national attention a few days ago. Wyoming lawmakers rejected a proposed ban on using snowmobiles to chase and kill wildlife prior to their 2026 legislative session, despite concern that such incidents could damage the state's reputation. So let's see, if there's people who don't want coyotes being killed in Montana, and if they find out that we use snowmobiles to hunt coyotes in Montana, that would prevent these people from wanting to come to Montana? Sounds like a win-win if you ask me. We kill the coyotes and we keep these left-wing predators from coming to our state.
One thing's for sure, I know you have ridden snowmobiles. I own a snowmobile because I have to have it to get to my cabin in the wintertime.
You've been holding out on us this whole time?
You see my pictures on Twitter all the time with my snowmobile. Yeah.
I haven't seen the snowmobile pictures.
Have to have it 5 months out of the year to get to the cabin. You have to have
nice.
That, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And let me tell you something. You're not sneaking up on anything in a snowmobile because that thing is like a chainsaw motor. I mean, it's a motorcycle motor. You would have to get yourself in a position where it's still a very long shot that you're taking.
They've gotten a lot quieter, though, and a lot more efficient, though, over the years. Some of those new snowmobiles, it's crazy how quiet and efficient they really are. You'll have to take Caden with you up there, hook him up to a toboggan on the back of the snowmobile. I don't have a snowmobile, but, you know, back in the day on the High Line, you just hook it up behind a pickup truck and pull the toboggan that way. Not the recommended course of action, but not to say it didn't happen in the 1980s on the High Line.
I tell you what, you know, my driveway, which if you could call it a driveway, which is a pig path dirt trail to get up to my cabin, is very, very steep in a couple of areas. And you hit a 3-4 foot area of snow, and you're trying to go uphill, say around a curve, man, it's like surfing. You're like surfing on this thing that's got a motor underneath it. And I mean, I know there's people that are way better at it than me, but I'm still like just plodding along, just trying to make it up that hill.
Speaking of surfing, since we're getting into the summer season now on such a beautiful Memorial Day weekend, have you seen these surf boats out on the water before?
Mm-mm.
They have these surf boats that create their own waves behind the boat, and you literally can surf on a Montana river or a Montana lake, if the river is deep enough, depending on which one, right? And there's literally, you start off with a rope. I had a friend who had a surf boat, and I did. It was awesome. They've even got pontoons now that are so crazy that they have a pontoon boat that can turn into a surf boat, which is crazy. But it creates the wave, and initially you hold on with a rope like as if you were wakeboarding. But then you pick up that wave, and the wave carries you along to where you are surfing in Montana, just like you were on the ocean or something like that. In fact, wow. I just saw Congressman Ryan Zinke, you know, a Navy SEAL, of course. Apparently, he already got out this summer and was surfing behind the back of a boat. It's crazy how what you can do behind a boat these days. So,
oh, like at snowmobiling, you have to do that all of that surfing at speed. Because the minute you throttle back and get slow, you will right into the snow.
And if you're really, you know, if you're a really motivated Montanan, you'll have somebody throw you a 12-ounce can of something while you're on the back there, too. Catch it and stay on the board.
Oh, that's a whole other level right there.
I might have tried that and done that for a few seconds anyway.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I've got a lot I want to talk about. I'm sure you got something you want to talk about as well. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. In fact, oh man, we got a bunch of messages in here I need to check out here real fast. But John, I know you got stuff you want to talk about as well. This is an important point here. You just brought it up as we were coming out of the break here. About, and I've seen it. I've seen it on X where, okay, an ICE agent, an HSI agent, they've just arrested these hardcore criminal illegal aliens, rapists, murderers, cartel operatives, Trinidad Aragua thugs, you name it. And in the photo, they might have their back turned to the camera or they have their face covered by the camera. And some of the left-wing activists out there, the Democrat Party activists that are opposed to deporting these criminal illegal aliens, they will complain. They will get mad. They were like, why are you covering your faces? You should show your faces. These left-wing activists are so mad that our brave men and women in law enforcement are not showing their faces while they're arresting these hardcore criminal illegal aliens. It's like they want to be able to target and go after these agents.
Yeah, from being in a federal drug agent over four decades, starting actually in the 80s, I watched overseas, you know, all of Latin America, you know, Colombia, Bolivia, Peru, Mexico, everywhere where they had these major cartel members. The police in those countries would have to appear everywhere in public, masked and covering their faces because they feared retribution by those cartels. Well, see, we in America have never had to do that until now, until 2025. Now, our ICE agents have to be out here and conduct themselves like they're living in a third world country. You know what, Aaron? It's not because they're scared of cartel retribution. They're scared of the leftist, communist, Democrat mobs. That's what they're scared of.
That are going to dox them, that are going to show up at their place of work, that will target them and their families because they've already done that. Remember, was it transgender cult that killed the Border Patrol agent up in New England states or something like that? Crazy stuff going on out there. By the way, I'm checking our messages here on the Montana Talks app. Tim sent us a message somewhere out of northeast Montana, I think. He says, you know, even more fun than hunting coyotes with a snowmobile is the fixed-wing aerial coyote hunting. Now, that sounds like a ton of fun as well, too. So,
have you seen those videos on Twitter of these people, like, out in the middle of the woods? On a snowmobile, will come up on a moose, and they think because they're on this big, loud machine and all that, that moose are scared of them. Well, you see these moose, like, finally have enough and will turn around and charge the snowmobile, and you hear these people screaming, like, oh, my God!
Oh, man. You know, I threw this out there a while back, speaking of snowmobiles. We've really got to You know, if you were to go to Yellowstone National Park this summer, I mean, it's going to be like a parking lot, right? Ooh. Trying to drive through. I don't know what it was like this past weekend, if anybody could tell us. But, you know, it's like, you know, there's just a ton of traffic, especially if there's wildlife on the side of the road. Everybody has to stop. That's why when they had that grizzly bear on that elk carcass south of Livingston near the Yankee Gym Canyon, they were trying to tell all the traffic, don't stop to try to look at the grizzly bear, because, you know, you're on a major highway there and you got a lot of people coming and going, and if you stop, it, you know, it leads to safety issues, because it's the Yellowstone Park traffic. So if they see a ground squirrel on the side of the road, they will stop and, oh, honey, look at this, go pet it, you know.
Yeah, and the big mistake everybody makes is with the buffalo, because they think these are just big, hairy, slow cows, and they are not. That is 2,000 pounds of prehistoric muscle, and once it gets tired of you, oh, you have had it. They will launch you in the air 30 feet and then come and stomp you into a mud hole.
Yeah. But speaking of Yellowstone, you know, so like in the summertime, it can be like a parking lot in certain spots. But then in the winter, it's like, you know, nary a person to be found hardly. So it's like, let's make snowmobiling in Yellowstone great again. You know, that's the thing with President Trump and his team. It's like, okay, what do we need to do to make this country great again? What do we need to do to make this state great? And now it's like all options are on the table, because President Trump wants to deliver. He is taking advantage of every freaking moment he has in that White House to help this country.
And you really have to have, that's why personnel is so important. And we talk about this on our spaces and our podcast all the time. It's because there are a million things out there that need to be righted, and cases need to be taken up, and wrongs addressed. And see, Donald Trump can't do it all. He's got to have the right people, the right warriors in the right spots. And those people have got to know what to do without being told. Those personnel decisions are so critical.
Speaking of President Trump, did you see this, John? Politico is big mad that Donald Trump did not deliver the traditional boring commencement address at West Point over the weekend. And this was the line in particular that really triggered Politico.
The job of the U.S. Armed Forces is not to host drag shows to transform foreign cultures, but to spread democracy to everybody around the world at the point of a gun. The military's job is to dominate any foe and annihilate any threat to America anywhere, anytime, and any place.
Yeah, that was the line that really triggered them. But apparently, I mean, it was a rock. I need to go back and watch the speech, because apparently it was, you know, as any Trump speech is, he has fun. He jokes around with the crowd. He really connects with people. And yeah, Politico didn't like the fact that it felt more like a rally because everybody was so into his speech.
Did you see I guess he brought up one of the guys from the football team and spoke. I mean, maybe the guy was a quarterback, and Trump slapped him on the back, you know, just a friendly slap. And then the guy walked away, and Trump's like, oh my God, slapping that guy's shoulder is like slapping a piece of steel.
Oh man, yeah, I got to go back and watch it. But yeah, Politico playbook, they said they were complaining that he spoke with a campaign-style rally speech, attacking drag shows and critical race theory, complaining about their treatment by law enforcement, and offering musings on trophy wives to the cadets. What did he say about trophy wives?
I have no idea. I didn't hear anything about trophy wives.
I know. Now I got to see. Now we got to go watch the full speech here now. So,
oh my God. But we'll see. It doesn't
matter. It had to be hilarious, whatever he said.
You could have a video there at West Point of Donald Trump seeing a terrorist attack and a live grenade getting thrown across the stage. And Donald Trump went and threw himself on it and saved everybody. But see, all these people would say, he just did that as part of a campaign rally, and that was a fake grenade, and you know, that was a racist thing he did there. These people cannot be made happy. They're going to complain and whine no matter what the guy does.
All right, let's go into the phone lines here. Susan in Missoula, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, first of all, I heard the entire speech at West Point that you just mentioned, and it was awesome. It was hilarious, and the cadets were just really enjoying him. They had a wonderful time. please go back and listen to it. As for shooting animals of any kind from a vehicle or an airplane, I staunchly do not support that. Because you also have an opportunity to shoot a human or an animal that's not supposed to be shot. And I don't know why you hate coyotes so much. I mean, they're really cool animals. And as a hunter, and as someone who has a Boone and Crockett animal, certainly shooting from a moving vehicle, especially a snowmobile, is very inaccurate shooting. And you could accidentally shoot even somebody that's on the snowmobile ahead of you. So,
well, that's definitely why you wouldn't want to do big game, and why it's discouraged with, you know, big game, elk, deer, et cetera, things like that. But predators have often...
It's illegal.
Yeah.
Illegal.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. But predators are a different story, and I think most folks would agree on that. But I appreciate your, you know, your perspective on that as well. But speaking of aerial hunting, what about accessing land with helicopter? Oh, did we lose? Okay, I was going to go back to Susan there in Missoula. But, yeah, there was a – I think this bill got signed – oh, yeah, here we go. Montana governor signs bill to restrict hunters flying to landlocked parcels. So basically, helicopters hauling hunters to remote landlocked sections of public ground have drawn the ire of hike-in hunters as well as landowners. New legislation will limit such activities. That was a story in the Billings Gazette that came out just a few days ago, I think before the Memorial Day weekend, so some people may have missed that one.
You wonder how many people are wealthy enough to do that to begin with. And then if you get something back there, how are you getting it out?
Helicopter.
I mean, you'd have to have a big helicopter, right? I mean,
well, yeah, no, I think a helicopter could handle that. And now, unless you really,
I mean, gotta get a moose,
you might have to sling load that sucker out of there or something like that. Might have to lift that one out of there. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the challenges with our checkerboard lands here in Montana is, okay, you got a tiny little chunk of so-called public land smack dab in the middle of private land, no way to access it whatsoever. That's why, you know, there was also some conversation about you know, a land transferring some of that land to get access to bigger swaths of public land for hunters and recreationalists, et cetera, elsewhere. But great to hear from Susan in Missoula. I was going to ask Susan in Missoula this question. It was a similar question I was going to throw to John as well. Speaking of President Trump's West Point commencement speech, you know, we just had the Memorial Day weekend here in America, here in Montana. TheDailyWire.com had some interesting statistics about how young Americans don't understand the meaning of Memorial Day. Not just young Americans, but a large chunk of Americans don't know what Memorial Day is really all about. Why is that? Why do so many Americans not understand the meaning of Memorial Day? Why do so many young Americans not understand the meaning of Memorial Day?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This Memorial Day, I would like to honor Montana's sons and daughters who gave their lives in service to our nation. From the wheat fields at the Golden Triangle to the high plains of eastern Montana. From the mountain towns of the west to the ranches along the Musselshell, brave Montanans have always answered the call. Young men and women who grew up branding calves, fixing fence, and playing under big sky sunsets. Many traded in boots and cowboy hats for helmets and uniforms. Some never came home. We remember those who left places like Miles City Belt, Havre, Dillon, and Plentywood, who fought in wars far from the prairies and peaks they called home. Their sacrifices etched into the soil of the state and into the hearts of every Montanan who values freedom, faith, and family. As we've all gathered this Memorial Day weekend, we remember the Montanans who paid the ultimate price. From all of us here on these radio waves, we thank them and we honor their legacy. Because here in Montana, we know freedom isn't free. I'm Lane Northline.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Phone lines are open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. Oh, a listener in Whitehall just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app here. John, you were talking about the fluffy cows, otherwise known as buffalo or bison in Yellowstone National Park. All the tourists that want to go pet the fluffy cows, the nice fluffy cows. This listener in Whitehall says, remember the phrase, white men can't jump? Not so with buffalo. I've personally seen one with my wife in Yellowstone take two steps and clear a wooden fence that was 5 foot off the ground. It also scared a young couple that was nearby within 30 feet of this happening. So he says white men can jump, especially when those big fluffy cows are around at Yellowstone. Oh, man.
You gotta watch them. They have their eyes almost on either side of their head, kind of like an elk or a deer, where they see almost purely 360 degrees around them. Almost. They see everything. I mean, you're not sneaking up on one of those things.
Well, you know, and it's, I was talking about that drive south of Livingston. If you enter Yellowstone through Mammoth, and it's like you will see everything. You will see almost every type of wildlife that's out there. But not for a good reason, I would add. The reason why you see so much wildlife if you make that drive is because there's too many bison in Yellowstone National Park. So they've destroyed the rangeland inside of Yellowstone. So then all the wildlife, combined with the pressure from the wolves, they go everywhere else to find the food. And so the radical environmentalists that have been running our park service and running the policy there for decades now, you know, first they push out the snowmobiles, then they do their anti-bison management stuff. They've got too many bison in the park, and so now they've destroyed the rangeland outside of the park as well. So what ends up happening? All of that wildlife gets pressed further and further to try to find more food, and they're running from the wolves at the same time. And so that's why when you drive past the little airstrip there, you'll see a bunch of elk, you'll see a bunch of bison. I even saw the last trip I made down there just recently, saw the bighorns down there as well. And so, it's a reminder that these folks on the left, they have horrible environmental policies. They are horrible for the environment, because when you destroy the range land inside Yellowstone National Park, that's bad for the environment. But they claim to be environmentalists as they shove these wolves out there and things like that. And in reality, what they want to do is, I think they are intentionally doing it so they can blame it all on climate change. Oh, the reason why the rangeland outside of Yellowstone is in touch shape is climate change. Not the wolves, not too many bison in the park. No, it's climate change. That's their excuse for everything.
And it's like you've made the point a bunch of times, is they don't want you, being humans, they don't want you on that land. So what's a better way to do it than spread that wildlife all over everywhere? It goes out of the park and now it's everywhere. And it's wildlife you can't touch, you can't deal with, you can't touch, it's protected or whatever.
And despite the fact that there's grizzlies all over the place, no, we're going to keep them protected under the endangered species list, because not because they're endangered, but because we use that as a tool to make you endangered, to make your lifestyle endangered, to make the timber industry an endangered species, to make the American rancher an endangered species.
I've been in the backcountry in Yellowstone, and you're on a trail that's supposed to be a narrow, typical trail. Well, this trail has been widened out to 30 feet because of the just hordes of buffalo that use it, and they have trampled down the forest for a 30-foot swath of this. And I've actually been out on these trails where here comes a herd of them your way. And there is no choice, there is no discussion, there is no argument. You will get off that trail, 20, 30 feet, and stand there really quiet and still as they go past, or you are going to get put into a mudhole.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to the story, why young Americans don't appreciate the meaning of Memorial Day. But first, let's get to more of your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Right on, John. He says he's calling from Los Angeles. Right on, John. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for your service, boys.
Thank you.
I help build Greg Giaporti's house, and we used to sit out at lunchtime and use everything from 22s to 50 caliber guns and stuff. And I even talked to Donald Trump Jr., DJ, about this and everything. That the media gets it wrong. Is that they're actually called Richardson's ground squirrels, and there's a gopher, and then there's a prairie dog, and the prairie dog is the one that is somewhat not extinct, but protected and everything. So, but these Richardson ground squirrels, oh my goodness, you hit them with a 50 caliber, and there's not really much left. It's just like
this. John, I'm thinking of, right on, John, hold that thought for a second, because I know you wanted to say something about Attorney General Austin Knutson and our conversation from Friday as well, so stand by, I'll come back to you. But, John, you know, all I could think of was, it's a feud. Remember Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's a feud.
I started immediately thinking about Caddyshack, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Going to go out and kill all the gophers on the court. Wait, if I kill all the golfers, the gophers! Kill the gophers!
But, yeah, I was thinking of Kindergarten. It's funny how just typical dudes, we get so easily distracted. That's why my wife and is like, hey, did you hear what I just said? And I was like, oh, I was thinking about gophers.
I had no idea what you just said. You just kind of go off on it. You're squirrel.
It's a squirrel.
Kind of goes.
What kind of squirrel do you got? Is it a ground squirrel? Is it a chipmunk?
It's a gopher, man. I've told you it's a gopher.
It's a ferret. The reason why I was thinking it was ferret, because I remember a while ago the big controversy in Phillips County, I think this was probably 25 years ago now, was the black-footed ferret. And there's some ranchers saying, shut up about the ferret right now. Don't get any more stupid ideas going with these environmental wackos out here. It's a ferret. Right on, John, we had A.G. Knutson on the show Friday talking about your far-left Gallatin County attorney. What'd you want to say?
I got two or three different cases here, one with myself and a couple other people that are going up against this attorney. And she's just out of control. He's out of control. And I'm going to try and get a hold of Austin's office and see if he can come on down and give us a hand, because we're just dealing with these public defenders, and they're just overwhelmed with everything.
Interesting. Yeah, so the public defenders are overwhelmed. The whole court system, I've heard, is overwhelmed in Gallatin County, yet the Gallatin County attorney is standing in the way of federal law enforcement agents trying to help deal with the crime problem, standing in the way of ICE.
And as you and I have talked about numerous times here on the show, that has been going on in Montana for 25 years, for as long as I know about it. And we quickly learned as federal agencies that the criminal justice system here was dysfunctional as far as anything other than violent crime. Now, violent crime, they would get you, would convict you, you would do prison time. Everything else is just a revolving door of closed cases, dropped cases, plea deals. You know, you never got to the point to where you would trust that system to be involved with it at all.
Well, and that's why, by the way, folks, if you missed our show Friday, we had Attorney General Austin Knutson on for the full hour, and he tore in to that far-left Gallatin County attorney. He basically called the Gallatin County attorney a liberal lightweight who is basically trying to make permanent the Joe Biden, invasion by standing in the way of ICE. And John had a great idea. We were talking earlier this morning. He had a great idea. Hey, the federal attorney general, because that's where the authority would be here. Maybe they should do a little investigation into what's going on in Gallatin County with this Gallatin County attorney and these Gallatin County commissioners.
Well, Tom Holman, that would come right out of his shop probably, is that we as ICE, we don't have to wait for, say, the U.S. attorney here in Montana to tell us to do a thing. We are opening up on them right now, and the U.S. attorney here will help us out.
All right, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's on your mind?
Gophers.
Squirrel. Gophers. Yeah, what's up?
The guys are blabbing so fast, I couldn't follow us.
That'll happen.
Talking about motorized vehicles. Can you shoot from a car or a truck?
Well, now, when you're hunting, you're talking about. Are you talking about when Susan called in and she was saying how she does not support aerial hunting of coyotes or snowmobile hunting of coyotes? And my argument is that predators are and should be treated differently than, say, your big game hunting.
Well, there's a management. You know, for years, hunters were always involved in that, in keeping the predators down. You know, they do play a big role. The hunters do, you know, as far as gophers and other predators, coyotes, whatever. You know, I mean, there's specific laws. You can't shoot from a motorized vehicle.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts? Snowmobiles, aerial hunting of predators, anything else?
It's a motorized vehicle, isn't it? Why should we be shooting?
So you don't think we should? So if there was hog hunting in Texas, you don't think they should do the helicopter hog hunting in Texas or the aerial coyote? Actually, it's been a management tool even by the federal government, as I understand it. Ow.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick here before we jump back into it, I saw, you know, our friends at Power Plus Pain Aid. You guys have heard me talk about our friend Lee, a Marine Corps veteran in Big Fork, who started this product. They shared a video, I think on social media, I think I saw it on Facebook, promoting their product, talking about their product, and of course I'm happy to be featured in that video as well. But I read some of the comments, and one lady said, she actually drinks Power Plus Pain Aid before she goes and plays pickleball. Pickleball, I think it was, because she likes to play pickleball, but you know, that comes with the aches and pains of playing pickleball. But, you know, if you don't move, you can't move, so you got to move. You're going to be, you know, experiencing pain if you don't move, but then when you move, you're going to get some aches and pains from that movement as well. She said she will drink Power Plus Pain Aid before she goes to her workout because it gets rid of those aches and pains, but it also gives her a little energy boost before the workout as well. I thought that was kind of cool because I've actually used it as a pre-workout before as well, kind of loosen up the stiff neck, but also give you that pre-workout energy boost before going to the gym or whatever. Hey, if you want to try it out, go to drinkpowerplus.com. Enter the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your orders. DrinkPowerPlus.com. Yeah, it's basically a small bottle. It's a Power Plus Pain Aid. It's vitamins for pain relief and an energy drink all rolled into one. Okay, here's the story. We got to get to this before we run out of time here. Here's why young Americans don't appreciate the meaning of Memorial Day. It's a piece by Mary Mobley. According to a 2020 survey, only 43% of Americans understood the real reason we celebrate Memorial Day. A full 36% weren't sure of the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. So almost 40% of Americans don't even understand the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Mary Mobley says this ignorance may seem shameful, but in my opinion, it's more reflective of the relative peace our generation has inherited and our resulting lack of perspective on suffering and sacrifice. So she's basically saying that because, you know, you even think about the post 9/11 generation, it was a small percentage of Americans that actually served in these post 9/11 wars. And so it's not like World War II and even to a certain extent Vietnam, where a greater share of the population bore that burden and bore that sacrifice.
And you said relative peace, and you're talking about the draft and everything. I mean, look out. I know you're keeping a track of everything that's going on over there in Ukraine. You know, things escalated in the last 4 or 5 days. You had reports of Putin unleashing a salvo of aerial strikes against Ukraine. You got reports of Ukraine trying to assassinate Putin in his helicopter. And you hear all these reports also out of Europe where they are actively trying to stoke up World War III so they can do a reset of their population and a reset of their economy because they are globalist communists over there. So this type of stuff, this relative peace that you just mentioned there, that's, you know, that is always hanging right there by a thread.
All right, let's wrap up on a little bit of a lighter note. Speaking of Europe and the wars that Joe Biden helped get them into here, did you see? I can't believe you didn't bring this up earlier. Did you see the video of Emmanuel Macron
getting slapped?
Oh my goodness! Oh man! So he's coming off of his looked like a presidential airplane or something, right? Yeah, he's getting ready to get off the airplane in Hanoi, Vietnam. I thought the video was fake at first, but it's a real video. You see his wife basically push his face away, and he turns and looks like, uh-oh. He has that old Adam Schiff look on his face because he's right in the door getting off the airplane, and all the cameras are there like, snap, snap, snap. And he smiles kind of awkwardly, and he said they were just joking around. That was not the "we were just joking around" look on his face.
Well, it also reminded everybody of the just really weird and kind of twisted relationship those two have. If I saw that right, they met when she was 40 and he was 16 or something, and then they got married when he finally turned 18. It's really kind of odd.
He was cougar hunting from an airplane.
Really kind of odd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. I didn't even think about the age difference because, you know, he's the president of France, so we just don't think too much or know too
We're
much about him.
We're not sophisticated like they are.
That's right. So. Pinkies up, John. Pinkies up. Pinkies up. Oh, man. Yeah, that video was a little crazy. What else is going on out? Oh, the breaking news just came out about the COVID shot. You saw that one earlier.
Yeah, RFK Jr. announcing officially this morning that the CDC will no longer be recommending the COVID shot for healthy children or pregnant women. And that taking it off of that schedule now, I think will even allow, because that's what they use as the excuse a lot of times, particularly in these blue states, to mandate that shot for your kids in school. Well, no more.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It was so outrageous. I remember I interviewed at the time when all this COVID BS was, when they were trying to force this stuff on everybody. And I interviewed a nurse in Great Falls, young woman, pregnant nurse, and they wanted to fire her because she didn't want to get the COVID shot when she was pregnant.
Oh, and, my God.
I mean, it was just outrageous what they tried to shove on people. You know, we always said, look, if you want it, here it is. But there was no reason that should have been forced on anybody. And especially, like, why would you give it to kids, healthy kids or
infants.
Pregnant women?
Giving it to infants.
I was just like, you people are insane.